Welcome to West Coast Project. My name is Mike, and the music we're hearing here is from Breaking Bad Season 2, where we get introduced to Saul Goodman. The name of the song is Banderia, and the band is Calexico. And the reason that we get introduced to Saul, as you may remember from that long ago episode, is that Badger gets caught selling meth, and Walt and Jesse need to figure out how to get him off the hook, so they find Saul. And Saul gets them involved with this guy who gets caught on purpose and goes to jail for a specified sum of money and essentially gets Badger off the hook. But this is how we meet Saul. And why am I talking about Saul? Because AMC has decided to bring the episode Better Call Saul to life. And we're here to talk about that today. You may know a little bit about how Breaking Bad got started when Vince Gilligan and Tom Schnauz put together their story, basically starting from a conversation, a what do we do next in our lives and careers type of conversation, where Schnauz just kind of said, what if we give it all up and start making meth in a Winnebago? And if you know anything about the show, you know how that all tied into eventually to become part of the plot of the show. But one of the showrunners for Better Call Saul was also an early participant in Breaking Bad, Peter Gould. Peter Gould's a writer, and he worked on all five seasons of the show Breaking Bad, so he's pretty intimately involved with the show already. He wrote a few episodes and is now going to be producing, along with the help of Vince Gilligan, the new series coming up, Better Call Saul. So we don't really have a podcast on Better Call Saul yet. The show isn't available, obviously, yet to refer to in podcasts. But I wanted to just reminisce a little bit about Breaking Bad because I enjoyed it so much and because it is fun to reminisce and think about some of the questions that the show left us with, but also to talk a little bit about this new show and what it might entail. And I think some of the cool things that it's going to allow us to do is that we have total... or the writers, at least, do have total carte blanche with their timeline. Some of the things that happened during the Better Call Saul show can happen before Breaking Bad, during Breaking Bad, or even after Breaking Bad. And we can find out what happened to some of these people. We can find out some of the early timelines in their lives and how they got involved with each other and became strong characters in Breaking Bad. And we can learn just a lot that we don't know so far, and we have a lot of spaces to fill as I sat down to write down some of the lingering questions that are still open from the series. We got a really good story and a really good resolution, I think, but there still are some open and very interesting plot points that I would like to see more fleshed out. It's almost like the writers and producers of Better Call Saul have another chance at writing their story. And that is going to be really cool, I think, and it's going to help the people that really liked Breaking Bad fill in some of those plot points that we've hinted at. The executive producer, Peter Gould, says that the show will feature scenes that move back and forth over a lot of time, over several decades, including where Walter White cooked and sold and made the meth. So we'll see his pre-life before Heisenberg and some of the things maybe that happened to some of the characters afterwards. The show was supposed to come out in November of 2014, and they decided after making a couple episodes that it looked so good that they wanted to take their time and redo it. They even renewed the show for a two-year run instead of just the first season. So now it's going to come out in early 2015. So what I did was write down some of the things that I would like to still know from the original Breaking Bad show. And hopefully these will come up and be resolved in the new Better Call Saul. Like I said, I think it's cool that we have the chance to see this show coming up in early 2015 while Breaking Bad is still fresh in our minds. And whether we're looking for another episode of Ozymandias or Half Measure or Fly or Crawl Space or whatever pinnacle of the show that you found as the most interesting point or part of the show, you can set that as your goal into what you want to see in Better Call Saul, and hopefully they can come close to reaching it. But what are some of the things that you wanted to know about the show that you didn't get answered? Some of my questions were, in no particular order, will we ever learn about Walt's past with Gretchen and Elliot? Why did Walt leave the company? And what happened between him and Gretchen? I think that Walt and Gretchen were a firm couple at some point, but we never found out why their relationship ended, whether it was the career problems that caused the relationship to end or the relationship problems that maybe caused Walt to leave the career and his partnership with Elliot. But anyway, I'd like to know more about that. I'd like to see how Gray Matter was founded. I'd like to see more of that blackboard, whiteboard sketch out scene that they had at the one point in Breaking Bad between Gretchen and Walt, and just see the genesis of that company and how it was founded, how it got its start, how it got its first customers. Some of the business aspects of Gray Matter would be really, really interesting to me. So, you know, I don't know if Gretchen made some sort of a relationship with Elliot that interfered with Walt, or if Walt had a fling with somebody else, but we never really know that. And that is one of the biggest questions that I would like to see answered. Walt was very resentful of Gretchen and Elliot at the end, and even in the middle, and even in the beginning, enough to not even accept the job to work with them and get the insurance. But so he turned his back on a huge opportunity to help his family in the very beginning of Breaking Bad just because of some ego thing that he didn't ever resolve when he left Gray Matter. So Gray Matter, that's one thing I'd like to know. What about the families of the dealers? Did they ever regroup? Again, these are in no particular order. These are just kind of notes that popped into my head as I was thinking about this podcast. But the dealers that got murdered in prison, whatever happened to them, those types of families don't seem like they just go totally straight and clean. Did they regroup? Do they have revenge? Somehow that word must have gotten out to other criminal elements among them and around them that network was wiped out by Heisenberg and the people related to Heisenberg. So are they going to seek revenge once they learn that their network was wiped out by Walt? Did they leave it in place? Is there anything left in place from that network, I guess, is the thought there. All of those locations around New Mexico and all that network of meth dealers, what happened to them? How did they evolve around Declan or whatever else was left after Walt and the Nazi guys were eliminated? So whatever happened? Whatever happened to Merkert? Merkert was the FBI boss of Hank for a while, and then he got in trouble because the meth was right under his nose and in Albuquerque, and they didn't ever find it. So Merkert got in trouble. But whatever happened to that guy? That's an open question. Probably not an important one, but it's still there nonetheless. One of the more important ones that I thought was interesting to me is Gus. What was Gus's background in Chile? I would love to see some of that fleshed out. Are any of those people still out there? And then can they come back and cause problems for anyone else in the future, or perhaps for law enforcement? Hank at one point said there was no record of Gus anywhere in Chile, but no record doesn't mean no people. That just means Hank couldn't find it. So did Gus leave behind a legacy in Chile? How did he get started, and what might that legacy do in the future? For some reason, if you remember the scene in Mexico when Gus went down to meet Don Eladio, he didn't kill Gus. He killed his partner. And he didn't kill Gus because he said he knows who he was in Chile. So what was he? How did he get so much respect and fear from Don Eladio? What was he doing? Who did he know? He had some connections. They had to be pretty powerful to merit that protection from Don Eladio. Was he in the powerful politics of the Pinochet regime? That was one theory back at the time of that episode. Nothing on this was ever dealt with, though. It was just kind of left open and shut down at the end. It was never resolved. So that would be really huge for me to want to see and find the answer to. Flashbacks of Gus growing up with Max and just setting up that business would be really, really cool. How did Gus get to the U.S.? He's a Chilean national who I guess, emigrated to Mexico, but how did he move into the chicken business and get all set up in the U.S.? So that would be cool. What about Tio? What about Tio Salamanca and that whole gang of Mexican cartel guys? How did they get started? What was their rise from lowly criminals to criminal managers and masters of people? Tio apparently was Don Eladio's hitman, guardian, right-wing, right-hand guy. How did he get there? How did he grow up and get to be that point? What else? What about Madrigal Electromotive? Lydia put them in touch with this drug empire that Walt was setting up, but whatever happened to them? How did Madrigal get corrupt enough to accept a drug channel and a drug pipeline of profits? What was that original setup? Are they still involved in the drug trade? Was that guy who killed himself with the French tastings, that manager who got caught, was he the only one? Are there any others? And just how did that all develop? We would love to see how that came about. Was there some sort of a connection between Madrigal and Gus maybe in the past? Madrigal in South America and Chile or whatever. You know, this is all speculation, but these are questions that I would like to see hopefully come up in Saul. Lydia also came up with a plan when she was working as the distributor for Madrigal to distribute meth in the Czech Republic, and we saw that distribution begin to flourish in the Czech Republic. What happened to those distributors and dealers in the Czech Republic? First of all, how did Lydia do it? And what happened when those guys got their supply cut off? Who replaced that supply? And what are those drug lords doing in the Czech Republic when their supply ran out? Who replaced the Mexican cartel when Gus had them all wiped out? Who replaced them? What did that evolve into from the time that they were wiped out until now? That vacuum didn't just go away. Some new people had to come in there. How did they get started? How did they fill that gap? Whatever became of Marie? How does she move on after finding out that Hank is gone? The evidence that Walt left with Skyler with the burial locations of Hank and Gomi had to leave that pretty clear that Marie had to move on from her dead husband. So what's she going to do? What will we ever learn about Marie and her future and maybe her past shoplifting problem? Again, a little plot point, but still a little bit interesting to see what might ever become of it. What's the status of the White family? How have they progressed into their respective futures? What do you think Skylar's going to do in her future, in her career? She's got a pretty crappy job as we leave her as some dispatcher in some crappy apartment. What does she ever do to rise up and above out of that? We know that there's some money on the way, potentially, from Gretchen and Elliot that Walt had set up, but did that money ever get to them? And what about Skylar's legal status? She was still under surveillance when Walt came to say goodbye to her when we last saw her. But did she ever shed that burden of the legal enterprise stalking her and looking at her for crimes that she might have done? She was involved with Beneke's operation too as the bookkeeper, and that was all tax related, and that had a bunch of problems. So whatever happens to Skylar in her career and in her legal life? And then what about Skylar and her sibling relationship with Marie? How did they ever mend those fences, or did they? And whatever becomes of that sisterly relationship? Now we can get to Jesse. You know, Jesse's out of the business, hopefully. Whatever happened to him? Where did he go? What's going to be his first step after racing through that desert night in the El Camino? Did Jesse ever get back to some sort of family, or will we ever see him again? I'd also like to know about the economics of Jesse. He left in that car with the shirt on his back. I don't know where he had any money stashed or if he was able to get to it or if he even cared. But how does he live and how does he earn a living? What will happen to him once we see where he is? What's he going to do in the future to keep moving ahead? It was great to see him get out of the Nazis' clutches, but whatever happens and where does he go? Jesse also has some important things that he has to escape from if he decides to stay in society. He has videotaped confessions, and he's not very free of the whole criminal background that he has. He almost has to go underground to stay free and happy. But what's going to happen to Jesse is really a huge question. He doesn't have Saul around anymore, I don't think. I guess we'll see. But he doesn't have Saul around to work for him and help him with everything he knows about Jesse to get out or to help him disappear. And even if Jesse does get away to Alaska or freed from all of these immediate problems, what happens to his psyche and his soul? What's going through his head? He's a pretty sensitive and easily influenced person. So what's going to happen to him, and where is he going to be? I guess we could ask if Jesse ever meets Brock and whatever happens to Brock, but it seems kind of a long shot proposition that Jesse would ever be with Brock or connect to Brock, other than maybe leaving him a little bit of money. Certainly he could never adopt Brock or get with Brock legally, and hopefully he wouldn't do anything stupid like take Brock with him somewhere. Brock seems to be better off in the hands of his grandmother as long as he's a little boy and he needs help in a family situation to grow up in. But whatever happened to Brock, and is Jesse ever, you know, connected with Brock again? What happened to the assets of the Walton Schuyler household? Whatever happened to their house and their car wash? Whatever happened to what they had before they got into this big legal trouble? And where's the rest of Walt's money? Walt shot Uncle Jack in the Nazi compound, but where is that old money? The rest of that money, is it anywhere ever to be seen again, anywhere ever to be found? And did the government get it? Did Jack get it to some other cohorts of his? Did Walt ever... Walt, I guess, never had a hint about it, but is there any hint of where that money might be, and might it get to somebody we like or somebody new that we don't know yet? Did the government get it? Did some skateboard kids get it, or some ATV riding kids find it in the 10 years into the future? What about Huell? Did Huell ever make it out of that motel room? Of course he had to, but what happened in Huell's immediate future after he was left in there by Hank and Gomi? How long did he hang out in that room before he got free of it, and what is he doing nowadays? And of course, if we ask about Huell, we got to know about Kubi. What happened to Kubi, and are they both still partnered up, dreaming of sleeping on piles of cash somewhere? And I guess we'll know this one more directly, but what's Saul up to? He's going to be... disappeared into Omaha somewhere, into a Cinnabon franchise, jokingly. But what's he really doing? Just seeing what Saul's up to is going to be interesting. Is he really going to live a quiet, anonymous life? Is he going to go back to being a lawyer, an underground lawyer, a person involved in some legal business as a front, and an underground lawyer or money launderer underneath all that? What happened to Saul? How did Saul get to become a lawyer through the American Samoa diploma he got? What criminal and what hints of criminal enterprise brought him into becoming a crooked lawyer when he was growing up and going through school? So how did Saul get to be the first lawyer, and then obviously what happened to him after this action in Breaking Bad? We never saw what happened to Ted. The last time we saw Ted was in the hospital with his head wired into some neck-supporting brace, and he looked pretty bad. But he was still in trouble, too, with his tax problems and his unpaid IRS bill. So whatever happened to Ted? Did he ever get his business back? Did he go into something else? What about Robert Forster? Whatever happened to him, the disappearer? When Walt left the cabin... What happened to the cabin? Did Robert Forster, whose name I don't know that we ever knew in the show, the disappearer, but did Robert Forster clean up that little bit of a mess in the cabin and wipe away the fact that Walt was ever there? did that cabin ever get raided or discovered? And does Walter Forster continue on in his job and career choice as a disappearer slash vacuum guy? So what happened to him? What about Badger and Skinny Pete? They seem to be still open to being influenced into minor criminal micro jobs by doing the little laser scene with Walt. But what are they doing nowadays, or what are they going to be doing in the future? Did the money ever make it to Walt Jr.? And if so, if Gretchen and Scott, Gretchen and Elliot gave that money to the White family, how did they do it? Was it really Walt's cash? Did they take Walt's cash, put it in a bank account somewhere? Or did they destroy Walt's cash and just use their own clean legal money? How did they explain Walt's cash? $10 million in cash is difficult to just simply deposit into a bank account. So what were the mechanics behind that? And how did Gretchen and Elliot get that money to Walt Jr. or to Skyler? How did they get that money to the White family? Or did they not ever do it? Did they just say, forget it, Walt was a bad guy and this money doesn't go where he wanted us to send it? And whatever happens to them, are they happily on their way now in a successful and quiet gray matter career without Walt there to ever threaten them? And then I guess maybe my last thought on this is, was there ever any inter-series connection? If you're a fan of The Walking Dead, we saw that Merle Dixon's motorcycle bags had blue meth in it. Was there any other reach outside of Breaking Bad that the product might have cross-referenced into? Was there any connection? Was that a real connection between The Walking Dead and Breaking Bad? And did that meth ever get anywhere else interesting in our social culture or social, just social environment that we might be familiar with? And will we ever see some of that, the results of that? We kind of saw Merle, but we didn't really see him as a result of meth. We saw him, more of him as a result of his family and his personality. But will we ever see the results of some of the meth, besides the obvious ones where we saw Wendy and other meth-reduced characters in Breaking Bad? But will we see any future results of the meth that was produced in Breaking Bad? So that's about it. I wanted to just broach the subject and relive Breaking Bad a little bit here. Today's the 4th of July, so we're still quite a ways off from the early winter of 2015, early January, whenever this series comes out. Better Call Saul. But I would estimate that we're probably going to do a podcast on it. Just too hard to resist. I know 50 other people will probably do podcasts on it, but it's an interesting topic for sure. Maybe even now in between the first date of the first episode of Better Call Saul and today, July 4th, 2014, we'll do a couple podcasts on what things might develop as we learn more about the show coming out and just other questions that we might have related to how the show will progress and who might be in it and where the plot might lead us. So that's it for the 4th of July, 2014. Thanks again for being fans of West Coast Project. Write to us at westcoastproject.com. And on Twitter, we're Scathing Tweets. And Facebook/West Coast Project. So thanks, everyone. Have a safe and happy holiday, and we'll talk to you soon.